Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Greetings, listeners. This is Divya Parekh with her show, Beyond Confidence. Because we all have confidence, it's about getting to the next level. I am very excited and thrilled to have Justin Lefezan with me. He is a young entrepreneur. Even though he's young of age, he's an experienced entrepreneur, consultant, speaker, and forthcoming author. He's the founder and CEO of Millennial Marketing Strategy, a full-service digital marketing strategy consulting company that helps small and medium-sized business grow online fast and rapidly. Passionate about connecting youth, Justin is the curator of the Next Gen Summit, an environment for young entrepreneurs to connect, collaborate, and inspire. Justin deferred his admission to the Wharton School, University of Pennsylvania. And of course, there's a lot more to follow. I'm really excited to have him on board. And a little bit about me, Divya Parekh, your today's host. I am an international leadership wellness coach and speaker. I've worked with coaches, youth, and professionals over six continents. And let me tell you, people are people. I love the power of people. I have merged my career as a biochemist, as a coach and speaker. And what's wonderful is that when I work with people, including executives, professionals, coaches, and youths, step up into the levels beyond confidence and staying in the dialogue, staying and sustaining that level, there is nothing more rewarding in life than that. So without further ado, we are going to start the show, and I'm going to welcome Justin. Welcome, Justin. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Divya. Thank you for having me on. I'm really, really excited about the opportunity.
Welcome. Please share about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess my whole journey can kind of be summed up with my path going through high school, just not being satisfied with the status quo. And that's kind of transcended my entire journey. So I wasn't satisfied with the status quo of high school and college, so I took some time off. I wasn't satisfied with the college admissions process for general marketing strategy and how brands try to reach my age. So I started a couple of companies. I wasn't satisfied with communities and the available communities for young people, so I founded my own community. And now I really wasn't satisfied with the resources available for young people. So I'm trying to fill that gap and provide my own. So I run my marketing company during the day, and I have my project and my baby, which is my conference at night. And the rest of my time is spent just trying to engage with fellow young people and help them disrupt the status quo through entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That not satisfied with the status quo. So that's one of my phrases as well. Be content, not satisfied. Because when you are content and satisfied, you're not going to move to the next level. And there is so much more to life than just passing it by. So how did you come to this conclusion at such a tender young age?
Yeah, so I guess I had a lot going on in my life and a lot of people challenging me to always think bigger than the average high school kid was thinking. So I would always think about what I really wanted to do in my life, what impact I wanted to have, what was the best use for my time and skills, what lit my fire and got me awake in the morning. And I was always challenged to think about these questions. And while a lot of other kids weren't, I was. And I was really focusing on the answers to those really important questions that aren't asked enough. And I guess what I found was that the path that was set out for me wasn't a path that I wanted to go on, because everyone's kind of given the same advice. They're given the status quo advice. You're told to go from high school to college to an internship, which you turn into a job, and then you ride that job to partner, and then you retire. And it's set out as this model of success. And it didn't make any sense to me. And I saw a lot of problems with that model. And I wanted to do things differently. I was different. I wanted different results. And I wanted to have a different lifestyle than that. And so I wanted to think different. I needed to think different. And that's kind of where my journey began. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that path. I think it's okay for a lot of kids to follow that path. I just personally found a lot of problems with it, and I wanted different results. Because if everyone's getting the same advice, but we're all wanting different results, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I wanted a different life, a better life, a more satisfying life than that current path offered. And so I had to go out and do it myself.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key. I really like what you said, that's what did not work for me. So there are paths. There's so many different paths. So for example, if you're going from Chicago to New York, the destination may be the same. However, there may be different ways that things can be done. It's just not one path that there is available. You could go by the bus, you could go by train, you could take airplane, you could do a mix and match of things. It's about taking the path that is right for you. And prior to that, it's about gaining clarity, who you are, what do you want. And that is so important, to find that happiness, because ultimately we do everything to find happiness in our lives. Now, happiness definition can be different for different people. So in the same vein, just in what you mentioned, that it was different for you, and you had the clarity to recognize it and the tenacity to pursue it. I congratulate you on that. So in a question arises, you said that, you know, you were encouraged to think in that direction, to think differently, to think about your passions, think bigger. Who were there in your life? Was it teachers, your parents? Who influenced you?
I had lunch with a really good friend right when I started my gap year. And it was at the diner right in town. And I point blank asked them, what should I do to explore myself, explore my talents, and explore my passion? And he said, find people who are already doing what you want to be doing and talk to them, spend time with them, and learn from them. So he was basically saying, go out and find people doing what I want to be doing and turn them into mentors. So I took the advice quite literally. I printed out the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, and I emailed every single member of the list. Lots of them didn't get back to me, but some of them did. And the ones that did, I ended up talking to on the phone for a long time and spending time with. And those relationships turned into friendships and mentorships, and a lot of them are speakers at my conference. And it's really, really exciting, because I got to forge these great partnerships and relationships with people who are already doing things I wanted to be doing. And that same thing applied to every other aspect of my life. I set goals for myself, like I want to be a public speaker. And as opposed to sitting on my couch, crossing my fingers and hoping I would become one, I went out and I found 19, 20, 21-year-old public speakers who were speaking in front of huge audiences. And I asked them point blank, how do you become a speaker at such a young age? What did you do to be successful? And I spent time with them. I learned from them. I reflected on their advice. And eventually I reverse engineered the process and added my own twist on things and was able to become a speaker at a really young age. So I went out and purposely found mentors. I didn't wait and I didn't, you know, kind of sit back. I had a few from the start, like my parents, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, and a few great teachers. But I wanted mentors who were doing things that I wanted to be doing. So I actively pursued those mentorship relationships and spend time learning from people who were already doing what I wanted to be doing. And at that point, it was just reverse engineering the process to get the results that I wanted to get.
Very true. The key takeaway from here is seek the mentors, seek the people who are already there where you want to be. And they have traveled the journey, they have seen the ups and downs, and finding the mentorship, forging those relationships, taking those lessons and applying it to yourself that suits you, that definitely works. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned about emailing people that you really thought that they were where you wanted to be. How did you find the email of these people?
Yeah, so I just never take no for an answer. And I think that's something I learned from a really early age. So people often think that, all right, yeah, someone really successful, they're out of touch. And I couldn't disagree more with that statement. A mentor of mine once said, the people at the top are the most available. And I learned that really, really quickly. Basically, the people in the middle who are still fighting for success are too busy trying to get there. Whereas the people at the top who have achieved a great amount of success are available with plenty of time to give back. So it's all about finding the right way to reach them. So I do use a few online tools like Reportive and Banana Tag to figure out, you know, how do I get these people's email addresses and eventually how do I get them to open my email. But a lot of the time it's more simple than that. It's as simple as calling the office of their company and asking for the person right at the top. And you'll be surprised how easily they give it to you if you just ask and just try. Don't accept no for an answer. Commit to doing something and then figure out how to do it later. Because a lot of the time, the fear in your head is a lot more tangible and substantial than the actual difficulty of the path you're trying to go on.
Mm-hmm. Very true. That's always the thing, you know. I'm sure you've heard of the decision-making process. The different decision-making processes that people go through is, there's a study was done by a gentleman called Daniel Kahneman. And I apologize to the gentleman if I'm not pronouncing his name correctly. It's something called prospect theory, where people have different way of looking at things. We are highly motivated to go towards certainty rather than go towards a little bit of risk. And because of that, most of us are prone to the risk aversion factors. And by that factor, what we do is we make decisions where we will keep on taking the path that has been proven time and time again and do not go for an informed decision-making process where what you can do is you can outweigh the pros and cons, put them side by side, and make a decision that has a calculated risk with some risk management. Because if you do that, then it's so much more easier to reach your goals, set those goals. So thinking about what your destination is going to be is more of a key rather than saying, okay, you know what? I am not going to take any risk at all. Because when you are making your decision, I'm sure you face the same thinking that, oh, should I go for this route or not? So how did you, I really point away when you said that you don't take no for an answer and go after what you want. Decide what you want to do and think about the logistics and the how later on. So how did you decide what you wanted to do?
It took a lot of exploration and a lot of deep thinking. A good friend of mine, I just did a conversation with them, and they divided the reason people do what they do into three different areas: fame, fortune, and freedom. And he said that every path that we want to take falls into one of the three. So fame is pretty simple: getting on TV, getting in the paper, being, you know, publicly awarded and rewarded for the work that you've done. Fortune, of course, making a lot of money to buy cool things and being rewarded financially. And then freedom. And freedom's the, I think, the biggest, but also the most important, the most tangible for me. and freedom is the reason I do things. I wanted a life that was different than the lives that were currently offered with that path I was talking about before. Parents are giving the same advice to every kid. It's just what you do, and no one questions it. But we really find contradictory objectives when we think about it. Parents tell their kids to major in business or accounting because it's, you know, the most marketable degree and you're not what you're passionate about. But if we inject some dialogue into the conversation and inject some logic into the conversation, what do we find? Contradictory objectives again. We see that, you know, kids are being forced into this path without time for self-exploration and without time for experimentation. And they're expected to have these, you know, enormous results when they get older and find passionate, high-paying jobs. And it's an attempt at doing things backwards, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We need to have our kids ask themselves at an earlier age, what really lights you up? What wakes you up in the morning? What is your best use for your skills and your values and the intersection of the two? And then from there, create a lifestyle and not the other way around. But that's the scarier way to go, because it's much easier and much more comfortable to find a path already chosen than to forge your own. So I was trying to forge my own path. So I started looking around, and I was asking a whole lot of questions because I was confused. So I asked questions to mentors and family and friends, and it took a whole year away from college just exploring to figure it out. But I know the time was well spent, and I really know that asking those questions at the beginning and not jumping along the path has helped me achieve what I know is not only success, but a path that I really want to be on.
Mm-hmm. And that is the crux of the matter, that we are not thinking about the why. If you look at Apple and any companies, and if you look at the successful people, what drives them is their why. Why are you doing what you're doing? If you know your why, then it's easy to live the what, because you know the reason, your feel behind it. You can have the best car. However, if you don't have the gas in the car, you're not going to be able to drive it. And similarly, Justin, from what you're saying, it's absolutely clear that it's really important to know the why. And talking about the why, that's exactly my next book is coming up, Unlock Your Future for Young Adults, where I have explored very much similarly along these lines, you know, knowing your vision, where you want to go, how to make those decisions, how to find that confidence to go after things that you want. So I can definitely relate to that. And one of the things that comes to my mind is that obviously your friends and mentors impacted you greatly and steered you in the right direction. So once you found out where to reach these mentors and you were able to connect with them, how did you proceed to form those stable and strong relationships where there was an encouragement and interaction and each other helping out and the collaboration?
A lot of people, when they're young, they try to hide their youth because they think it's a disadvantage. However, what my parents always taught me was to really understand your strengths and weaknesses and try to leverage both of them to achieve the outcome you want. So what that means is I'm young, so I shouldn't run away from me being young. I should use the fact that I'm young as an advantage. If I'm young, I have a new perspective. If I haven't gone to college, I have flexibility. Things like that, leveraging both your strengths and your weaknesses and your position to achieve the outcome you want to achieve. So I would approach these mentors, these people who've had so much success in their lives, and I would leverage my position. I would tell them that I'm young and I'm confused and I'm trying to, you know, seek out new mentorship. And I would be really considerate of their time. I wouldn't try to waste time on open conversation. I would come up with specific questions and come up with specific talking points I wanted to discuss. And I would always try to give value. And that's another thing that I think people don't understand, how to give value. So if I was talking to a mentor and they were talking about a problem they would have, I would do everything in my power to somehow get them closer to a solution and giving value to them. One of the best mentorship relations I have right now, it began with a simple conversation with the mentor, and they were expressing a problem with their brand strategy. I just so happened to have a background in marketing strategy. So with a little help from me and my team, we were able to solve a pretty big problem for them. And now that mentor is one of my biggest mentors now in life, because I was able to give value to them and leverage my age, use my age as an advantage to get closer. And now these mentorship relationships, a lot of them have turned into friendships. But not all mentors have to be older and successful. Some of my biggest mentors are 18, 19, 20 years old, but are doing really cool things. So they're speaking on large stages, or they are pursuing startups that are raising millions of dollars, or they're, you know, young elected officials in states throughout the country. So I think I treat everyone like a mentor and really believe that I can learn something from every single person around me. So I just try to surround myself with the best, the brightest, the most motivated, and just absorb all of the information I can, because I know there's a lot to be learned, and I'm on a mission to figure it all out.
Wonderful. You mentioned that you surround yourself with the best, the brightest. Now, during that course, you may have friends, you know, that you have had long-standing friends, and they may not be the brightest. So what would your advice be to the young adults? Do they sustain those friendships? Do they let them go?
So I definitely sustain the friendships I've had for a long time. I have a group of 8 friends that I have been friends with forever and will be friends with forever. You know, they're my best friends and they're my boys. However, I also have new friendships that I've found from conferences and that I've found from communities that are out there for young entrepreneurs. And it's okay to have more than one friend group, and it's okay to have, you know, those dispersed relationships. But professional growth, I really do aim to only surround myself with the best, the brightest, and the most motivated people around. So who do I want to be learning from? It's someone who's doing what I want to be doing or has done what I want to have achieved. So just like at my conference, what I'm doing is I'm putting together the brightest, the best, and the most motivated from all around the world in different aspects. So we have young musicians, young politicians, young entrepreneurs, and we're putting them all in a room together to help each other and to form relationships that are going to be meaningful for the next 50 years. Because, you know, just like the saying goes, you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. I want to be spending time with the most incredible people around so I can, you know, really maximize my own chances of success. So my professional development is exactly what I do. I seek to surround myself with people who are doing really, really incredible things.
Absolutely true. The key is, before we start on any journey, it's about clearing the blocks. The couple of blocks that we always have is, and if you're associating with people who are robbing you of your energy, your emotional power, your power to focus, it's going to take away that power energy from you, from your path that you are destined to travel. So that's where it comes in. Now, that does not mean that you lose the existing friends. It's about sustaining those friendships and at the same time developing the new friends, new relationships. It's, you know, what happens is so many times they talk about the young generations just being technologically savvy. So Justin, it's very refreshing to hear a young entrepreneur like you emphasizing on values of friendship and relationships, because ultimately, we may be as savvy as we want to be. However, like yesterday, the computers were down, the United Airlines were grounded. Ultimately, it's people to people. It's about those relationships. It's about hearts and hugs. Offline relationship, it's about talking to people, carrying those values with you. So I acknowledge you for that. I'm very happy to hear that these values are continuing in our new leaders.
Absolutely. I think the issue is that there are so many of these brilliant kids out there who are so smart and they are doing so many incredible things with technology. But at the end of the day, they can't communicate their vision enough to really take it to the next level, and they're blocked by their own incapacity to form those really great relationships. So I have a goal to bring those kids together to help form communities, help form these relationships, and help each individual journey extend way past the current potential, because I could not agree more. My second TED Talk I gave, and probably my favorite, was titled Disruption Through Collaboration, because I really do believe that if we want to create opportunities and solve problems, we have to work together, we have to talk to each other, and we have to collaborate on the world's biggest issues. And I really couldn't believe that any more than I'm saying.
Like it. Lovely. So we have talked about a lot of different things. Can you share what route did you take, the indirect routes instead of college and work, to reach where you are today?
Absolutely. So I think that there are so many different, there are so many issues and flaws with the path that I laid out. So the path is, in high school, you do all of the right clubs, you know, you get a really high score on your SAT, and then you go to college, and then you go intern, and then you go to a job, and then you graduate the job, and you hopefully, you know, ride as a partner, and then you retire. And there were so many flaws to me in that. The first is this: there was no experimentation or exploration. So what I did from a very young age is I started to explore. I did free work for really cool projects and really cool people from a really young age. So I would just do everything I can to get involved with startups and nonprofit organizations and political campaigns from when I was so young, just because I wanted to test that involvement and see if it excited me. When I found an opportunity of something that did excite me, I started a company immediately, and I didn't wait to learn more about it. So I started my first company back in high school because I found a really big flaw with the college admissions process. I kept going, and without having any background in marketing, I started my marketing company because I realized brands were reaching young people in the wrong way and were confused on how to actually do it. Explore, experiment, and jump right on it. I also took time to ask questions. So my whole decision of postponing college for a year was not because I wanted to get away from academia. It's almost the opposite. But what I really wanted to do was have time to ask questions and have time to figure things out. I wanted to try things. So I traveled the country and I talked to the greatest people I could possibly get my hands on. And I spent time with them, just like with the process we talked about earlier with mentorship. And I didn't wait till I was older to have those high-profile connections. I went out and I formed them from an early age. I also didn't take no for an answer. A lot of the times we're told to wait to start a company or wait till we graduate college to do something. And I said no to that 100% through. So I started my conference company, and we started bringing cool people together and making those connections for the next 50 years. So basically what I did is I took a 50-year process of figuring yourself out and riding the corporate ladder, and I condensed it into 18 months of exploration, mentorship, guidance seeking, self-reflection, and the hustle, really working as hard as I could to get to the places I wanted to get to. And while it's been a crazy ride, I'm so happy I did it. And taking this time was the best decision I've ever made, because now I feel like I have a path and a journey that makes sense for me. I found the intersection of what I'm good at and what my values are. And that's where we need to be finding those intersections. What is your highest and best use? What are you best at? And where does that cross with what do you need to be doing for this world? And if you can find that intersection like I did, you'll be, you know, so set on your path in this journey of life. And that's exactly what I did. I took the time and I didn't wait to kind of figure out what that spot was.
Wow. So much wisdom. And who says that wisdom belongs to the old? Wisdom can be had at any age. So thank you for sharing that about the route. So listeners, if you are in your youth or wherever you are at, there is no stopping. There is no age. There is no limits. There are no boundaries. Reach for your dream. Take no for an answer and go for it. And as we have talked about a little bit about your family and your parents, there's always, we've talked about the relationships, about those people in your life who pull you up, who uplift you and take you in the positive spiral towards success. Who would you attribute in terms of your friends, family, for your success?
Absolutely. So my family, they're the number one, you know, most important people in my life. And on Mother's Day this year, my older brother, who's had a fair amount of success as well, and I were reflecting and figuring out how can we communicate that. So as opposed to just writing it on a Mother's Day card, what my brother Josh and I did was co-author an op-ed that ended up getting syndicated to the Boston Globe about the value of our parents and what they taught us. And the title was, A Thank You to Mom and Dad, What Two Sons Learned About Raising Successful Kids. And we basically got the chance to explain what our parents did that made us successful, what they did that taught us how to achieve what we wanted to achieve. Because undoubtedly, while my parents aren't entrepreneurs, they taught us exactly how to have the success that we are currently having and want to keep having through our upbringing. And it was really, really incredible, and I'm so lucky. And it's almost like an unfair advantage. I had the most unfair advantage of them all, which was great parents. So all of my success really does belong to them.
I would say that the credit goes to both the kids as well as to parents, because so many teenagers nowadays, understandably, that, you know, their brains are not developed yet, your cognitive decision-making functions of the brain are still developing until the age of 23 to 24. However, that said, the realization that parents are your biggest champions and cheerleaders, recognizing that and learning from them rather than thinking that parents are on the other side of the fence trying to bring you down is of essence. Your thoughts on it?
I definitely agree that more and more young people need to think that their parents are on their side, because at the end of the day, regardless of your upbringing, your parents just want the best for you. However, I do know that I was lucky in that my parents are more progressive than other parents, and that when I would have these crazy ideas, they would support them and not shoot them down. So while I do believe that young people need to understand that their parents are on their side and want the best for them, I also know that not every kid was in my situation, where my parents were 100% supportive of the really outrageous decisions that I wanted to make at a really young age. So I know I got lucky, but at the same time, I think that transcends all parents. You know, they want to support their kids and see what's best. So it's, while we have to think of it on a case-by-case basis, young people have to take advantage of their parents, because it's really the support system you have.
It's about establishing the communication, keeping the communication lines open. It goes well both for teenagers, young adults, as well as for the parents. It's also sharing with the parents, be open about your children's potential and possibilities. It's not about just thinking, this is the road I have traveled and this is the road my children should travel. It's about opening up your mind, expanding your horizons, and looking beyond the possibilities that my son or my daughter has been exposed to a new generation of technology, being open to how their mind and brains can think and seeing what they are seeing. And in this way, so Justin, we have had a great conversation. The message goes for both teenagers and parents. Do you have any two or three nuggets for parents as to breaking the barrier that so many parents face today while raising their teenagers?
100%. And while I definitely don't think I'm an expert on parenting, I do think I know a couple of things that my parents did really well that I would love to duplicate. And the first is just what you said. It's that communication. Parents, number one, have to take the time to learn about their children's wants and needs, as opposed to forcing them on paths that they don't want to be on, as opposed to making them go major in accounting if they don't like math. Things like that frustrate me because it means that a parent hasn't really taken the time to think about what the child wants, needs, and really yearns for in life. So communication is vital in number one, taking the time to talk to your child about their passions, about their values, and about really what they think or what they're thinking about focusing on in life. I think number two is about failing. And I think a lot of parents are nervous for their kids to fail. And I know even my own parents, they're really nervous of failure, but they let us fail. And I think that's a really big controversial point that I love that my parents did. They let us fail because what we learn from our failures is much more than we've learned from our successes. And if our parents stepped in and, you know, used their parental guidance to not let us fail, we wouldn't have learned the lessons that we should have learned at a really young age. So letting your kids make decisions, even if they're going to have a failure sometimes, is a great way to have a teachable moment for a child. And I think that, while it's tough to let your kid fail, I strongly believe in it as a means for success.
Mm-hmm. And that is the benchmark of today's word, actually. A new phrase has been coined recently, is fail fast. Because the sooner you learn to fail fast, you learn what you cannot do, and then you have the time to improve on it. And that goes regardless whether you're in corporate world, whether you are a parent, you're a teacher, in any profession, or whether you're a teenager, or whether you're a child. The key is about failing fast and building the resiliency. It's not only failing fast and learning. It's about building that inner strength and confidence and trust and belief in yourself that, yes, making those risk-based decisions, yes, things can go wrong. However, we are ingraining that strength in our children or in ourselves that we will be able to handle and cope with problems that may rise in our lives because who says that, you know, life is predictable? There's so many variable factors in our lives that it really helps to fail. That's a great point, Justin. So share
Absolutely,
a little bit about,
yeah.
You wanted to add anything else?
No, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying.
Share a little bit about your marketing company. What does it do and how does it help young people and your clients?
Basically, what we realized is that brands were not reaching young people like they needed to be reaching young people. And we figured that it was because there was a lack of a strategy. A lot of marketing companies were very tactical oriented and they weren't strategy focused. They would use marketing tactics, but there was no underlying strategy behind this is who we need to reach and this is how we need to reach them. So we help Fortune 500 brands, as well as small and medium-sized businesses, reach young people through strategy. And what's really cool about that is I get to work with fellow young people. So the oldest employee in my company is 22 years old, and I think that's so cool. And I think back to my last company, when the oldest was also 22. And I think it's not a coincidence that I love to work with young people and that I love to have young people on my team who can teach me things. So my marketing company is really, really great. I have the best clients in the world. And we take them through a strategy process that essentially boils questions down to this. Who do we need to reach and how can we reach them? And with what messages do we need to communicate to be successful? And we get rid of all of the other nonsense involved. And that focuses on strategy, not tactics. And it's been a really, really great adventure that's got me involved with so many cool clients and so many cool projects and partners.
Sounds like fun. And work is about having fun because that's the time that you're spending out of your life. So I'm glad that you're having fun.
Well, when we talked about fame, fortune, and freedom. Another big reason I choose freedom is because of just what you're talking about right now. I couldn't picture myself going into an office at 9, leaving at 5, and having that kind of lifestyle. It just didn't make sense for me personally. I needed a lifestyle with a lot more freedom. So now I get to spend most of my time doing other things and not working or getting the same, you know, results that I was wanted to be getting before or could have been getting with a 9-to-5. And I was able to kind of figure that out through the marketing company. It's a lot of, you know, consulting work as opposed to the 9-to-5 grind that I really didn't want to go to. So freedom was so important for me, having a career that was fulfilling, fun, and lucrative all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear. So we are going to take a quick halftime break. Listeners, thank you for staying with us. I would like to share a little bit about the upcoming shows. And before I share about the upcoming shows, the call-in number is 646-716-9397. And the few of the upcoming shows are, the one that is scheduled is on 7/19 at 9 p.m., mark my words, with certified life and business coach Mark Shaw. And the call-in number for that is 646-716-9397. Another upcoming episode that you will enjoy is on 7/17/2015 at noon, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Create Your Bliss with Nika Annan. She is interviewing Bola Nathan, a Nepali shaman. And it sounds like a very interesting radio show. So listeners, please take a moment to join us during those fantastic shows, and thank you for tuning in. And we'll be continuing with our show today. Justin, you had mentioned that you have an upcoming conference. Would you like to share the details about it?
Absolutely. So the reason I started the conference was because I go to so many conferences all around the country. And I remember it was in October or November, and I was just sitting at my last conference, and I asked myself, where the hell are all the young people? And I said that loud. I was so frustrated. There were no young people around getting to experience what I was getting to experience. And it was a lack of resources was really present for me. More and more young people are defining themselves as entrepreneurial, but less and less young people are starting their own companies. And to me, that dichotomy was because of a lack of resources. So what I did is I tried to fill that gap of resources. The Next Gen Summit is an environment for young people to connect, collaborate, inspire, and get all of the resources they need to be successful. So social capital and the connections that you need, where we're putting together the best, brightest, and most motivated millennials from around the world. Education, inspiration, even investment are all resources that you can get at the Next Gen Summit. So we're basically creating a weekend where we can lock the doors, put the smartest, best, most talented people in a room together and figure out how can we all help each other and make partnerships for the next 50 years that will change the world. And I'm so excited about it. We have the most incredible speakers, the most incredible attendees, the most incredible partners, and we're so excited to be putting on the first event in about 3 weeks in Austin, Texas.
Oh, Austin, Texas is a great place to be. So what are the dates?
It's July 31st to August 2nd, and that's our first one in Austin. It's such a great entrepreneurial town. And we're already planning the May 2016 event in New York, but we'll release that one a little later.
So let's say if people wanted to get more information about this Next Gen Summit, how can they go about it signing?
So our website is ngsummit.com, N for N, G for generation, summit.com. And that website has all of the information you need. It has all of our speakers, the hotel we're staying at, our conference agenda, all of our partners, and it has so much great information. And we're constantly giving away free tickets to our email subscribers. So if someone wants to maybe get a free ticket for our event, go to thengsummit.com, enter your email into the opt-in loop, and we're going to give away, you know, about 10 free tickets again, you know, to subscribers, you know, over in the next batch, probably in the next week or so. So go to the website, check it out, and it's a really, really exciting site that gives a lot of cool information about what we're trying to do.
Sounds like an exciting event. So listeners, if you have a young entrepreneur in your family, this is the place to go, especially in the summer vacation. A lot of us are enjoying the summer. A question comes to my mind. You said that, you know, you're going to PowerPack this conference with powerful speakers, powerful attendees, and a lot of social interaction, and they're also going to be able to get the capital for the entrepreneurship. Do you have anything that's going to follow this conference? Because in so many conferences, people do make the connections and then they lose the touch. Is there going to be a way where people are going to be interconnected?
100%. So you bring up a really great point. A lot of the times you go to conferences and you have a great weekend and then you lose that buzz. So we try to do everything we can to sustain the buzz. So first, we have a proprietary communication app. Basically, it's a mobile app on the attendees' phones that it's like Facebook, but just for conference attendees, where they can talk about the event afterwards, see the guest list, and keep those conversations going long after we shut the doors Sunday, August 2nd. Moreover, the things that we're doing in the conference are going to have a lasting impact. So the investments that could possibly be made are company and life-changing and are really, really incredible that last long behind the weekend. And we have a lot of other plans to keep extending the content as well as the dialogue. So we're going to be live streaming the event on our, and you could find out those details on our website too. And we'll be taking those that content and dialogue and extending it to our attendees as well. So you bring up a really great point, Divya, in that a lot of the times you go to a conference and you lose it after a couple of days, and we're trying to reverse that as much as possible. We want to sustain the buzz, sustain the impact, and really formulate the partnerships for the next 50 years.
I like what you say, sustain the partnership for next 50 years. And that's the key, that as you sustain the relationships make you or break you. And I really like the idea that you're sustaining the energy, the enthusiasm, and the learnings beyond the conference. So from
it's
going
gonna be,
from here...
It's going to be such a good time, yeah.
Yes. If I were in town, I would have definitely hopped in there. All that I'm assuming it's for millennials, right? And
yeah.
For the young... Yeah, and it sounds like very much like fun and a lot of energy and impact and inspiration. So what is the age group that you are recommending that people can attend?
We're open from age 18 to 30, and we actually accept people on the skirts of those age groups as well. But here is the requisite to come. You have to define yourself as an entrepreneur. And I don't define an entrepreneur as someone who starts a company, because I think an entrepreneur is more than that. To us, to those at Next Gen Summit, an entrepreneur is someone who creates opportunities and solves problems, someone who wants something different or better than what's currently offered. If you want to come create opportunities, form these great partnerships, get these resources necessary, and collaborate, then you're for us. But if you're someone who's okay and satisfied with the status quo, who's satisfied with the past, then I think we're not your cup of tea. We're looking for young entrepreneurs and the next leaders, change makers, and trailblazers. So if you're one of those and between age 18 and 30, that's our perfect audience.
Oh, wonderful. I like that. If you're the trailblazer, if you're the change maker, and this definitely defines your audience, who is going to be coming, who you're connecting with. It again goes back to what you said. It's about, you are the average of the total of five people that you surround yourself with. And having that professionally, having surrounding yourself with motivated, energetic people who are like-minded people. Forming the mastermind groups, forming those connections is the key. And you are providing our young entrepreneurs the opportunity. So sounds like it's an opportunity not to be missed if you fall in that category. Now, we have talked about your Next Gen Summit. What is next for you? Where do you see yourself in next 5 years?
It's a question that I've always had a little trouble answering, because I look back on the last 18 months and things have changed so drastically from what I originally had planned. But for now, I see myself doing a couple things. I'm going to go to college, and I'm entering the University of Pennsylvania this fall, and I'm really, really excited about it to kind of, you know, shake up the experience a little bit. I'll also be continuing my work with my marketing consulting agency, as well as the Next Gen Summit. So we're still taking on clients for my marketing company, and that's a larger company who wants to reach young people. That's our perfect audience. So I'll be taking on some consulting clients, as well as continuing to grow Next Gen Summit. And my goal for the Next Gen Summit is to have 2 or 3 conferences a year that we get thousands of young people from across the country to attend and really make a difference in the millennial atmosphere of the universe. And we're really excited about our mission and what we're looking to do for Next Gen. So I think those projects are going to keep my hands pretty full. So in 5 years, I have no idea what my life will look like, but I sure hope that the mission stays the same, which is that I want to continue to help young people disrupt the status quo through entrepreneurship.
You're already on the path, Justin, and I can envision you being successful, going from one level to next level. I have no doubts about it. I'm fully confident about that.
Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
I congratulate you on your endeavors and your vision that you have for helping people, because it's not only about me. What's in it for me? And so many times I've come across people where we are talking about, what's in it for me? Why should I do it? No, join hands. Take that little time. It could be 10 minutes to help others. And it's been scientifically proven, if you help someone else, you will experience positive changes down to your cellular level. So folks, get out there, spread the message, where have a vision in your life of growing yourself and growing others with you. So for our audience and for our young entrepreneurs, what are the 3 tips that you would like to share with them that they can take those tips, walk into their lives, and implement them straight away?
I think the first one is about what we were talking about, mentorships. Find people who are doing what you want to be doing, spend time with them, and reverse engineer the process while adding your own twist on it. So if you want to be a speaker, if you want to be an author, if you want to go run a conference, find people who are doing what you're doing, spend time with them, break barriers, and reverse engineer the process. Number 2 would have to be a saying by Mick Ebling, which goes, commit, then figure it out. So commit to doing big things. Commit to changing the world. Commit to starting a company. Commit to skipping college. Commit to going to college. Commit to something and then figure out how to do it later. Because if opportunity rises, commit to it and then actually figure out how to do it afterwards. And 3 is no never means no. So if you have a barrier in front of you, don't take no for an answer. And don't ever take no for an answer. If you have no in front of you, it's just a temporary roadblock, and you absolutely should not accept that as defeat or failure. And you should continue to find a way to get the things that you're looking for. And I think with those 3 things, where things that are taught to me, and now I'm trying to, you know, pass on the message and add my own twist to it, a young person can really find themselves and find ways to be successful.
Great tips, great tips. So if our audience wanted to reach you for any advice, for your mentorship, for the tips, for finding the paths in life, there could be so many things that it's easier to connect with people of your own age rather than connecting with people who may be much older. I mean, not that's not to say that you cannot connect. However, finding that like-minded people who can understand you straight away, where do you think, or if you can share few points, like, you know, the Facebook link, your email address, whatever you're comfortable with sharing, Justin, do share your contact information with our folks.
Absolutely. So my website's justinlapazan.com, and my email address is justin@justinlapazan.com. And I really encourage people to go to my website and then shoot me an email. Every time I speak, I give out my email address because I want people to engage with me, let me know their feedback, and let me know their questions. Two of my full-time interns right now working for me got to me because they emailed me, and I ended up giving them both a paid job. I really do believe in open communication, so I want people to email me. So justin@justinlapazan.com is my email address, and then justinlapazan.com is my website. And I love when people reach out to me. It makes me really happy.
That's wonderful. And in lieu of what you have mentioned today, that it is very important to find yourself, to gain that clarity. Just for today's radio show, listeners, my friends, I'm going to offer you a $50 worth of assessment for free for a young next generation leaders, 18 and above, a link to an assessment that will help you figure out who you are, what are your hidden motivators, what drives you. I will be sharing the information with you. So please take that opportunity. Go take the assessment. You will be accessing a report that will help you get that, just that, get a leg up, get that start, get a foot in the door, so to speak, in your hidden motivators. And once you get a foot in the door in the hidden motivators, what drives you, what are your passions, that will help you move forward. So here is the link. It is DP, D as in David, P as in Peter, group.appleboyedward.us/empowered-energy/. Again, it's http://dpgroup.abeo.us/empowered-energy/. And the invitation code is empowered1, E-M, P as in Peter, O as in Owl, W, E as in Edward, R as in Robert, E as in Edward, D as in David, 1. Reach out, take that assessment, and go charge your life up. Charge your batteries and march forward. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. And you can reach me at contact@diviaparekh.com. I'm here at your service to support you. And Justin, it was such a pleasure. This hour just flew by. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing your wisdom. And I wish you the best in all your endeavors, and especially your Next Gen Summit.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Divya. It was such a great opportunity to be here.
Wonderful. Until next time, listeners, be confident and reach your next level. Take care.